So if you want to keep the applause running, we can welcome to the stage.
Martin.
Martin Riddick.
That's fine. That was an appropriate song, wasn't it? Who am I? Nice to see you. Good morning. How are you? Are you excited about Christmas? It's wonderful for us to be down here in the tropics of Oxfordshire. We come from Teesside, which is full of snow at the minute and freezing, so it's nice to be down here in the warm. And it's great to see you all again. I've got a friend with me who'd like to share with you his story. Are you up for that? Yeah. Will you give him a little welcome? This is Paul.
Hello. Good morning or afternoon, whatever it nearly is now. I think just to very quickly just sum up my life in 3 points, really. The first point is I've been a Christian since 2001. I was saved in prison. I was doing a 4-year sentence for stabbing somebody. Since that point, literally, God's changed my life. He's changed my heart. He's changed my desires. You know, the things I used to want to do wrong, I don't desire to do those things anymore. I've gone through some really terrible jobs and hard jobs and dead-end jobs, and now working a job where I'm working with people that are getting separated or divorced to lessen the impact on children. So a really valuable job, a worthwhile job, and to be honest, I think a job that's probably close to God's heart, really, just loving people. I'm a dad of 4 children. I've got 3 here now, 1 on the way. So I don't know who or what they're going to be just yet. You know, my life's been literally polarized. I was, you know, by the time I got sentenced to 4 years, I was 24 by then. I'd been in and out of jail about 5 times. My dad had died when I was 18. He was 45. He'd spent 25 years of his life in prison, in and out of prison. He was a heroin addict. He left us when I was about 3. My mum, trying to win him back, had took heroin, ended up becoming a heroin addict herself. She was sent to prison when I was 10 for 5 years. I went to live with my auntie. And then I come back, I had a brother who literally was a bully, was full of massive issues himself, obviously he wouldn't be. And from the age of 15, he was a heroin addict and a crack addict. He died last year. He'd been a Christian 3 months and died in a car crash. So, you know, you can imagine by the time I was 24, a very well-balanced, stabilised young man with no issues whatsoever. But literally, my life was an absolute mess. I'd got involved with a gang, and this gang did a lot of different stuff, controlled all the drugs, everything else in this area. I'd always wanted to be a gangster. We'd planned a few murders. We'd planned different kinds of stuff. Literally, I came to a point where I either took a man's life or I didn't. And so going up in echelons of crime, you need to do certain crimes to move up in that sphere. I'd reached my limit. I couldn't take a man's life. This then started with me. I started seeing a girl. I started pulling away from the gang. This basically led to voids in our relationships. I ended up then wanting out of the gang. And, you know, the only way to get out was literally the same way I got in, through hard work. I was kidnapped. I was beaten. I was sexually assaulted. I literally ended up in a position where I was going to kill this man or he was going to kill me. I didn't have the guts to kill him. I didn't want to spend 25 years in jail. And I was scared that I knew God had said, don't kill people, and I didn't want to die. I got on a graveside, I prayed to my uncle, to my dad, to my dog, to my friends, to anything or anybody I'd known who died. Please help me out of this situation, because I was trapped, I was stuck. No one would help me. And then a last prayer was, God, if you're there, or Jesus, please help me. Literally, that journey led me on a different path. I had massive nightmares. I couldn't ever sleep when I'd run off. I'd run off from this situation. My eyes got that tired and that heavy, I had to fall asleep, but then I'd have nightmares straight away and be woken up. I was drinking loads, taking drugs, ended up having a nervous breakdown, stabbed a taxi driver 3 times, got put in prison for 4 years. That led me on a course, which God led me on, and eventually led me into a group called a Why Jesus group, where we're given the opportunity to ask Jesus to come and change our life. You know, I started this testimony saying it'd be 3 points, so I've covered 2 of them. One's my now. The other one's my before. And actually, the most important one is what happened in the middle. Because without that bit in the middle, I wouldn't be here today. I was telling someone before, I'd just be a bum, a heroin addict, I'd probably be dead. You know, this testimony, my life story isn't mine. It's God's. It belongs to God. The Bible tells me God written all the days of my life before they were ever there. I can see God's hand throughout my life. I'm just telling you what God has given me, because God gave me this life. It's God's testimony. And so to God, really, all the glory belongs. I ended up in that jail cell the night before we were going to go down. I had three thoughts on my mind. I'm going to go down to the group the next morning. There's 15 convicts there, a couple of Christians. They're either all lunatics. They're lying to me, or they deceive themselves and God isn't real. Therefore, I'm going to live the rest of my life a hopeless bum, chased and ravaged by fear. I might as well get on heroin and just destroy my life. The second thing was, what if it's real? And all the other 14 convicts leave this room changed and different and know God's real. And I don't. I'm then going to live my life with all this fear, all that other stuff, knowing that one day I'm going to die and I'm going to meet a God who doesn't really like me very much. And the third option is, what if I go down there and it's true and he's real and I do meet him? But that's going to change my life forever. I went down, I opened my hands, I just prayed, God, please forgive me. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he died for my sin. I believe he lived and walked on this earth. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. Please forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. In that moment, literally, you know, if I could jump off this stage, the quickness of that is how quick this stuff went off my life. It took 10 years of working it out since, literally, emotional healing. But I went back to my cell. I ripped all the posters off my wall, took all the magazines from under my bed. I cleaned out my cell from top to bottom, basically just trying to make that cell look as clean and free and as washed as I felt inside. This is God's testimony. Thank you very much.
It's wonderful. What a gift, eh? What a gift God gave Paul, brand new life. And that's what's on offer for you this morning. In fact, it's on offer every morning, you know. But it's nice to be here this morning and know that Jesus offers you the same gift. Maybe you don't have a life like that. Maybe you have a pretty normal sounding life. But you know, all of us need God. We need forgiveness. We need the past washed away. We need that emotional healing that Paul's been walking through for the last 10 years. We need to be sorted out, don't we? Someone said to me, oh, Christianity's just a crutch for the weak. I said, do I look as though I need a crutch? I don't need a crutch. I need a stretcher. I need help. I need God. Maybe you do this morning. Maybe you're at that place of maturity in reality where you know you do. It's a wonderful place to come to, because then you receive what God has on offer for you. God, I want to give you a gift. Oh, I'm all right, thanks. We like to come to church. Oh, we're all right, thank you. We're all right. People often say that, don't we? Don't they, you know? I'm all right. Have you thought about that? I'm all right. It's quite a sentence, isn't it? Actually, the truth is, we're not all right. We need a savior. And good news is, we got one. God sent Jesus to be our savior. Has anyone finished the Christmas shopping? Because if you have, we don't like you. No, well done. You're very organized. That's fantastic. And we're all looking around for the perfect gift, aren't we, at Christmas? And God gave the perfect gift when he gave his son. And the giving and receiving of gifts goes right back, doesn't it? Actually, it goes back to the story of the three wise men who came, and pretty soon, maybe after Jesus' birth, they presented these gifts to him. They bowed down. They worshipped. They presented their gifts to him. Amazing story. That came from a long distance as well, a bit like us this morning. Well, not as far as us. We had a sat-nav to help us. They had a star-nav. That's a bit better, isn't it? Sat-nav got us here this morning. They were helped from way further out. It's incredible, actually. A star led them. The Bible says it led them to the very house. It took them to the address. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? They got to the address. We don't know how far they'd come from. The Bible says they came from the east. Oh, now far east. But we do know it took them 2 years. It's a long journey of seeking, studying. Herod interviewed them. Herod Antipas was a very, a real tyrant. He'd had his own son murdered, Herod, rather than let him succeed him on the throne. Incredible figure. You can imagine his nervousness when these guys turn up and say, there's a new king being born. Where is he? So he interviewed them. When did this begin? They said 2 years ago. Wow, that's a long journey, isn't it? 2 years, but they weren't disappointed. They kept going, they found Jesus. Have you yet? Maybe you're still on a long journey. Keep going. Get to Jesus. You won't be disappointed. Sometimes Christmas is a massive disappointment, if we're honest. It's all sorted. It's built up to be this, built up to be that. And in the end, like life, doesn't really satisfy our deepest needs. I've had my Christmas disappointments. A few years ago, I was sat in our front room with our kids watching a bit of telly. Margaret was out shopping a couple of days before Christmas. There was this knock on the door. I go and open the door. This guy says, "This number 16. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Got a hamper for you, mate." I said, "Hamper?" I said, "Oh, we haven't bought a hamper." He said, "No, these are gifts. These hampers are gifts." I started to get excited, wouldn't you? He said, "They're awesome hampers, these, mate. £1,000 hampers. They're sent from companies to people." I was thinking, who loves me? Who do I know that's got us £1,000 hamper? Well, I was absolutely excited. You know, they got this thing off the back of the lorry, out of the van. It was a metal box. It was two guys carrying it. I thought, thank you, God. I don't know who loves me, but someone's bought us £1,000 hamper. As they were coming to the door, the guy who was driving the van stuck his head out. He said, This is Glendale, isn't it?" I said, "No, mate, it's Glasdale." He went, "Oh, sorry, mate, wrong address." I tell you, they went, I shut the door, I came in, the kids said, "Who was it?" I said, "Nobody." Christmas disappointments. And but anyway, the wise men got to Jesus, they were not disappointed. Paul, in that prison, eventually gets to Jesus, he was not disappointed. I was a punk rocker, 17-year-old, I wasn't seeking anything. But, you know, eventually started a journey. Took me about 2 years, actually, searching, looking in churches, finding. I look back now, so grateful and with massive relief, really, that I didn't give up. We could have given up. Me and my punk rock mate, who was searching together, we kept going. Thank God. We kept going till we found Jesus. I want to encourage you to do the same. You've come to this place this morning. I don't know where you've come from, but I'll tell you something. You're not here by chance. How did you get here this morning? The wise men got there by star nav. They were directed. It wasn't by accident. You know, you're not here by accident. You know, "Oh, my friend invited me." Really? What, you don't think there's anything behind that? No, the truth is, you are here this morning because God loves you. And he's drawing you to his son to save you. That's how much he loves you. That's the truth. Drawn to Jesus. That's why you're here this morning. That's the truth. Drawn, not dragged. "Get to church." That's not God. Nor drawn. I'm sat at my desk preparing this sermon. I smell something in the kitchen. Oh, is someone cooking apple pie? I'm drawn to the kitchen. God draws you with his love. What happened to that person's life? How did that lad get you? You're drawn. God's saying, "Come on, I love you." Can you sense him this morning? He's drawing you. He's speaking to you. Come to Jesus. Why? What's Jesus got like? Well, let me tell you. The three gifts that they gave Jesus represent who he is. The first thing they gave him was gold. Gold is the tribute of kings. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the king. The Bible says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given." Oh, a little son, little child. And the government is on his shoulders. What, our government? Not every government. The world belongs to him. He's going to rule the world. This is the king of the nations. That's who Jesus is. He rules the universe. Do you think he might be able to help you a bit? Think he might be able to help you raise your kids? Think he might have a few ideas about how to make your marriage work? The government of the world is on the shoulders of this little baby. He's God's answer. "God, save the world, send an answer." Yeah, I've sent him. Jesus is king. Let me encourage you this morning to bow the knee to Jesus and let him be king in your life. Let God be God, will you? Do you know what? Life works better when you do. It's hard work playing God when you're not God. Spinning all those plates in your life. It's hard work, isn't it? I've got to keep my wife happy. I've got to keep my kids happy. I've got to make it. I've got to succeed. You know, those men who went to those men's conferences, the pressure on men. And women as well. Satisfy everyone. Keep everyone happy. Everyone happy. No wonder everyone's plates start crashing. You get into middle age and your childhood catches up with you. It's crash, bang, crash, crash. Oh, isn't it wonderful to let God be God? God, can you do something with me? Will you please govern my life? It's wonderful. I want to encourage you this Christmas. Hey, get the burden of trying to be Lord of your own universe off your back. Get God's help. You weren't designed to get through life yourself without help. No, there's a God. He loves you. You can have his help just for the asking. Yeah, just for the asking. Jesus, come into my life. Yeah, I will. I will. As simple as that. It's where it begins. It's fantastic. He's the king. Secondly, the other gift they gave was frankincense. Came in a solid white block that you grated over a fire to create smoke and incense, like worship, offering, presence of God. Some of you have been in traditional churches where chikink, 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 where they do that strange dance. No, where they roll that ball and chikink, chikink, and there's incense. It's a symbolic of the presence of God, of worship. The second thing you need to know about Jesus is this. He's God. God sent prophets, but that wasn't enough. He promised for thousands of years, one day, I'll come myself. I'll come and save you. Have you ever been in a situation where you saw your kids or someone doing something and you knew how to do it? In the end, you just stay, I'll do it myself. The Bible says God looked, he saw who can save this world? No one. So his own arm worked salvation for him. I'll come myself. Jesus is our Emmanuel. That's what we sang. Christmas means God is with us. God is one of us. He's come among us. It's not God miles off, big scary God miles off. No, Jesus has come among us. God loves us. He's become one of us. One day my kids were shouting at me from upstairs. I just got them to sleep. I was watching telly or something with Margaret. And they said, Dad, can you come and lie with us? You know, you think, I'm always up and down those stairs, you know. Some of your parents will be able to relate to this. And I said, you're all right. You know, I don't want to be on my own. I said, you're not on your own. I thought, oh, I'll play the little Christian card. God is with you. And it went silent for a couple of minutes. Now Matthias said, but I want somebody with skin on. Don't we all? Jesus is God with skin on. He says, I will be with you. I'm with you. I want to be with you. It's great to have someone with you, isn't it? You know, there are times in life where no one can be with you. Jesus can be with you. God will be with you. You're going through those operating doors in the hospital. See you when you come out. Jesus will see you in there. I'll come with you. There's certain journeys you're going to make on your own. Hey, what about death? Every one of us is going to make that journey on our own. I'd love to take my wife with me, but you know what? I can't. I'd love to take my friends and my kids with me. I'd love to take the minister with me, but I can't do it. Now, death is a journey we're all going to go on. Train is going to pull up. We're going to get on the train. There's no one else on the train. I'm going to take that journey. I'm going to get out of that train. And when I do, I'll be in the presence of God. But I'll tell you something. There is someone who'll do that journey with me. God's son. Jesus. I will be with you. I'll be with you while you live. I'll be with you when you die. I'll be with you. Emmanuel. He is God with us. And lastly, they gave him myrrh. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Myrrh was what they used to embalm the dead. Not a very nice gift for Mary, that is it? I mean, you imagine you're having your little party for your we've had a baby. Oh, thanks. What have you got? Balloons? Card? What have you brought? Boom. Tombstone. Thanks. And that's all it symbolized, Mary. I mean, that was all it was used for. Mary was never allowed to forget, and neither are we, that this little baby was born to die on a cross, that he came to save us. That blood in that little baby was going to be poured out on the cross for you and me so that we could be forgiven. Isn't it awesome to be forgiven? Would you like to be forgiven of all the past, of everything that goes on, of all your hang-ups and hurts and everything that happens every week? Oh, forgiveness is such an awesome gift. That's what Christmas is about. That's what God wants to give you. The best present of all is total and free forgiveness. Get rid of all your rubbish. I was saying in the earlier service, you know, we've got 9 kids, big family, and Christmas for us, rubbish can be a real issue. And I counted 1 year before the age of wheelie bins, 37 black bags we had of rubbish. I used to be embarrassed about it. All the other neighbours had these nice little parcels of black bags up and down the street. Ours was like a mountain, big mountain of rubbish. And so sometimes when it was dark, confession time, I used to get some of our rubbish and take it down the road. I was always imagining people looking out the window, you know, oh, look, there's that nice Christian man, must be taking gifts to the poor. Boom, Merry Christmas! Like the Grinch, you know. And, but what do you do about your rubbish? Who's going to remove your rubbish and my rubbish this Christmas? Oh, there's rubbish, isn't there? There's guilt, there's shame, there's rubbish in our life. Human beings create rubbish. We visit some nations where the bin man never comes. And people who don't have bin men, they live in their rubbish. It's toxic. Their life becomes a rubbish dump. Hey, yours can be the same without Jesus. Morally. I'll deny it. It's not my rubbish. I'll bury it. But it's still toxic. It's there. Why not let Jesus take it all away in a moment? Jesus, save me. In a moment it can happen. Living with Jesus is a process, but I tell you, salvation, it's a gift. It's in a moment. A moment. Isn't it wonderful when you hear the bin man outside, you lied in bed, and you hear do 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 beep, 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 beep. You open the curtains, ah, it's all gone. It's a wonderful feeling. Hey, experience that feeling this Christmas. God loves you. He sent his son to save you. He's your king. Let him take over. Someone said, Jesus hasn't come to take sides. He's come to take over. Let him take over. He's God with you. Receive him as such. Welcome him. That person, that the innkeeper, oh, I haven't got any room. Sorry, we're too full. Some of our lives, oh, I haven't got time for church. I haven't got time for God. My life's too full. Yeah, do you know what? It is too full. No, that's too full. Make room. Open up. Make it happen. Let God in. And then he's the one who came to save you. He's the one who came to die, came to shed his blood, receive his forgiveness. And you're going to have an awesome Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much that you came, the perfect Christmas gift. You are literally, Jesus, everything we've ever needed and everything we will ever need. And Lord, we want to receive you this morning. Do you know, it is as simple as that. If you'd like to receive this gift this morning, why don't you just, no one's looking, why don't you just open your hands on your lap as a sign to God, Lord, I want Jesus. I want this gift. I want forgiveness. I need a new start. If that's you, just open your hands on your lap now as a sign to God. And that's your prayer. You'll read it. You'll receive him. Don't miss this opportunity. They don't come round all the time. This is a moment for you in God. It's a very important moment for some of you. Don't walk out of here, oh, look back later, years later, oh, I wish I had that innkeeper. Oh, if I'd known it was Jesus, I would have opened up. This is an opportunity for you now in the singing, in the worship. Let's receive him.